This is mansplaining cooking. All right, what's up? It is Week in Weaves, episode 49, October 31st, 2023. I'm Alonzo here with my co-host Jason, and we are back this week with the same three shows. I'm trying to do a little different this week and maybe just skip the long description and just get into it. So why don't we just do that?
All right.
How did you feel about Undead Unluck episode 4?
The fan service streak ended very fast.
What fan service? Wait. Oh. She was like, I knew you were going to say that. She was like on his back.
That's not a little bit. Service. You're right. You're right. It's not.
Yeah. That wasn't really that much.
It was like, all right, bro. He just like, you know, it's just like, all right. I mean, I guess I get it kind of for the, I don't know. It's just like, why?
It was in the realm of fan service, but it was a very low version of fan service.
Yeah. I like, basically went under her shirt. And her boobs were just on his back.
Yeah. Just a very skin-to-skin bear hug, that's all.
Yeah. It was pretty good. We also got the backstory. So they weren't actually lovers. She just had a crush on him. He didn't really care back like that.
But I was going to ask, we found out that she's 66.
Yeah, because she found him at 16, 10 years past, and he's been gone for 40 years. So. Yeah.
Would you date a woman much older than you? Would you date a 66-year-old right now?
I mean, he's old as well, though.
Yeah.
I think the highest I would go is 35.
You go 35 right now?
Yeah. I could.
Okay.
But that's like you said, what's the highest? That's the highest.
Okay.
That's like the limit, you know what I'm saying? Like...
What's the youngest? I think that's more interesting.
Youngest? 21. 21 or 20.
I think the oldest for me, I think 21 is probably my cutoff for youngest. And then oldest, I would say maybe 27, 28. I don't know. 20's age gets so weird because you're like, I'm also close to 30, even though it's 6 years away. That's still not that far away.
Yeah, but I'm like 6 years away as well, 24. So that's why I'm like,
everything just feels like a hop step away at this point.
Yeah.
Like once we're all like in our like mid-20s and older, everything doesn't really feel that far away to me. Except like 20, even a 21-year-old, I feel like depending on where they are in their life, it might be kind of weird.
Yeah.
Or just like off, just like we don't have.
I mean, but much by 21, you should be done with college if you go at 17 or you're like senior year.
Yeah, probably just graduating.
Just graduating. That's why I'm still like,
a different thing for me who's been graduating for a couple of years.
Yeah, I graduated. I graduated same time, right?
Or, yeah, I think so. Yeah, but, 2 years. 21.
But then I got like a full-time job right after my graduation, like literally right after.
Yeah. So
like, that's what I'm looking at it as. Like if you just graduated, you got stuff lined up, I wouldn't mind it, you know, and you're pretty mature. Okay. You know.
Yeah, I know. But let me see. What I liked about this episode, I liked our... Hard to even call her a villain. I guess she was the antagonist, but she wasn't really as evil as I thought the last episode kind of made her look at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I expected her to be a lot more evil, but she was kind of neutral about it. Sometimes even more positive. Like she was saying, like she didn't really want to do the work she was doing or catch the people she was catching and kill the people she was killing. But, like, her motivation was literally just to get Andy. And she wasn't really into her job.
She thought her job was to change the world or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But it turned out it didn't change anything, really.
Right. They're just still doing the same thing 50 years later. and hasn't really made a mark or a move on anything. So I thought that was interesting. And what was she saying? Well, and she also, she could have killed, she calls her a little lucky. She could have killed Unluck at any time too. And that was another thing I thought that was interesting. Like, she could have just got the jump done, but she actually, like, started to like her.
Yeah. We also find out she was dying anyway.
She was dying.
On the verge of death. Yeah, basically. She was like, oh, it's fine. I was going out the door anyway when she was on her deathbed, like, at the
really?
End.
Really?
Yeah, she was basically like, I was near my end anyway, so it's all good.
I didn't remember that. Was she just looked young, but she was still 66?
Oh, she just had makeup on. Remember? He was like,
I thought Andy said that they had like some kind of like aging technology.
No. She was, so her thing, her power is unchanged, right?
Right.
And he was saying she's a like emitter. I think that's what it was. Emitter, like she can unchange stuff. Externally, she could stop stuff, but she can't do living organisms, so she can't do it on herself. Because she was lying and saying, like, yeah, I did it on myself. That's why I look so young. But he's like, no, you're just wearing a bunch of makeup. And under all of that, you look old as hell.
Bro, no way.
And,
I thought he said there was some kind of, like, aging technology they had.
I think he was saying, like, unless you guys created something that could do that, which I doubt. I thought that's what he was saying along those lines. Like,
okay, that might have been it.
And then still, when
makeup don't do that, that don't even make sense.
Yeah, but I ain't gonna lie, you'd be surprised. In Asia, you ever seen those videos? They put up a whole bunch of makeup, they look completely different, and then when they take it off, it's like, what the heck?
Wait, you cut out, did you say Asians?
Yeah, in Asia. You never seen like those videos in Asia? Like, because they're super big on makeup in Asia. But you've never seen videos of like women, they put on makeup and they look completely different, and then when they take it off, it's like,
yeah,
you're not even
those.
The same person.
But not necessarily, but like, with like older people, but just like anyone. I don't want to say ugly, but like they look so different because they're wearing makeup. If they just had their regular face.
But the makeup doesn't look, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't look unnatural, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like,
so
they did it well.
Yeah. So I think that could be the same thing. But she was like, she had makeup on to look 16. Which is like, why 16?
I don't know. A lot of people, honestly, that's like, a lot of people feel like they peaked around that age. Like,
in the high school?
Yeah, like they're like 16, 17. Like, some people feel like that's when they look the best.
That's pretty bad, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it is, but it's pretty sad, but still. Some people think like that. Some people are like, yeah, like 16, 17, that was probably my best. That's probably why there's so many movies, like high school movies, about people in like 17 again and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just want to be like 17 or 16 again. I don't know why. I feel like I've gotten better over the years.
It looks.
Yeah. Since high school, I feel like I definitely got it better.
I feel like I look pretty much the same. I got some facial hair. More muscles. So, I don't know.
But you know, you look that different from high school?
Not real. I got dreads and now, but I feel
like
if 8 years. I was to cut my dreads. Yeah, I know, but I feel like if I was to cut my dreads and like shave my face, I think I would look pretty much the same, aside from like my hair and stuff.
Probably, yeah. I don't know. Those are still big differences, though.
Yeah.
Even though they're like small things in theory, they're still big changes. I feel like most people still have the same face.
No, everybody's always going to look like themselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, some people get fat and stuff and look completely different, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
those are big changes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but I haven't been fat when I was younger. I wasn't, you know, so I don't know. You know, that's why I feel like I looked pretty much as I would look the same generally.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, like, there hasn't been a huge influx of weight, or the only thing that's really changed is my hair. Like, I have gained weight. I've gained probably like 30 pounds.
Like, aren't you
not
a lot
like
bigger, like muscular?
Yeah. But I was also kind of muscular when I was younger. Like, I ran track and stuff, and I worked out, but I wasn't as big, but I was still, you know, in shape and everything. So, I don't know.
Okay. I also got told I looked 28
at the gym.
Who says you look 28?
This older lady. She was like, how old are you? I was like, I'm 24. She was like, oh. And I was like, how old do you think I look? She was like, I say about 28. I was like, what?
But the thing is, like, what is even the difference between, like, 24 and 28?
But she was like, maybe it's because, like, you got a little bit of facial hair and your hair is long.
Yeah.
So that could be so. It. Like, if I was to shave and have a lower cut, I definitely would look younger.
A lot of people, it's weird because a lot of people I see, they'll be like 30, like 31, but I'll think they're like 24, 25.
Yes, yeah, it's a guy in my gym. It kind of gets hard to tell. Like, he's like 34. I thought he was like 21. I'm like, what the heck? Is a black dude? He's like, yeah, I'm pretty. I'm like, what? Like, you look younger than me.
It gets hard to tell as you get older. But yeah, only other thing in this episode. I liked her power.
Oh yeah, they figured out to unlock some more, like how it works. Like, you can build it up with the sustained touch, and
okay,
it only can operate inside the means of whatever it's inside of. Like he was saying, since he was inside of her little bubble, it can't do anything on the outside because it wouldn't affect her. So it had to be from the inside.
Okay, I do remember that. Even though the thing that they then did was kind of just like a gigantic laser beam.
It was a light beam.
And it destroyed like everything behind it too, so I don't know how that works. But it was still interesting. And then her death made me way more emotional than I thought it would.
Really?
Yeah, me personally. Even though
hug and kiss?
Well, we barely even had time with her, but I feel like it got to me for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe just because, like, her character. Like, I felt bad that she, like, went.
This man for 40 years, and then like she finally got to him again, and he's the one that killed her.
That, but I didn't really feel bad about that, because, like, that's, like, what she wanted to do. I kind of just felt bad that she felt like, you know, like, there's so many people, I feel like, that are like her, who just, like, don't want to change. And just fight change their whole lives. And like, at the end, they're like, dang, like, I wish I would have did this or that. Or I wish I would have taken this risk or not fought change in this regard so hard, then maybe I would have accomplished something. Because at the end, I feel like she just felt like she didn't really accomplish anything.
Yeah, I mean, meaningful. She was working for that place the whole time. And then she was like, I didn't even like doing this work, and I did it for so long. And she was like the person that killed all the people. She was like, she was like, I do all the dirty work, basically, and I don't even enjoy it. And I don't like killing these people and stuff like that. So, yeah, that does suck.
But that was just what I thought about her. I really liked her character, even though now she's dead.
But they're on the team now.
Oop, what the heck? You said what?
They're on the team now, both of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. We'll see how that goes. I feel like they won't really align well.
Yeah, she was like, what's her name's not cut out for this? And she wouldn't last.
Yeah, I don't think they're aligned well. And then one other thing. Oh, what were you saying?
I was going to say, Andy or undead, I feel like he doesn't care. He's just like, whatever. He's just trying to chase his best death. He also was like, I'm not gonna let her die until I get my best death or whatever, until I taste death, and then you guys can kind of do whatever you want with her.
Yeah, we'll see how they do. He also said one other thing is that all his friends are dead.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, they're all dead. He was like, I want to go see him and they're all dead.
So that's that. I did have one question. I don't know if I've asked you this before, but do you think you would like living forever?
I definitely don't want to die. Living forever, I feel like, in the sense of I would see so much, I would know so much, and history tends to repeat itself, I feel like it would get kind of annoying, especially if, depending on how you want to live your life, being able to live forever. Because let's say you're somebody who wants to make change in the world, but you've seen everything, and no matter what, it just keeps repeating, like the same stuff keeps happening over and over, because it's kind of human nature, and I feel like that's how things are. That would be very annoying, but if you're just someone who, because you can only experience so much, you know, but technology changes and everything becomes new. So that would be cool to be able to experience new things, but it's like, how long will it take for you to be able to experience something new after you've done everything? You know what I mean? So.
Like, what do you, wait, you said how long will it take for you to experience new things after you've done everything? Yeah, let's say
you
did everything
you can do, right? But time, technology advances, new things, new inventions, right? But it takes time for those new things to start existing. And okay. So the time between you having a new experience and the new thing being created could be very long. And then when that new thing is created, it might not even be worth the wait. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, dang, I just spent all this time for a new experience and it was trash. Mm. And now I got to wait again for something new. You also create stuff, but I don't know. It's like, I think it would be okay. I think the biggest thing is that you would lose people that you know. That would be the most annoying thing. You know, like people you create bonds with or relationships with, they don't live forever as well. So then you got to create new relationships. But then you might get like, this is kind of pointless because everybody I know just ends up dying anyway. But it's, I don't know. You know? It's like, I wouldn't mind it given. I don't know. It would be interesting. It'd be an interesting predicament to be in. Like in the moment, I want to say yes, but then after X amount of time has passed, I feel like I wouldn't have the same, you know, feeling.
I feel like what throws it off is you don't have that baby stage, or like that kid stage, where like you don't really know what's going on when you talk about like waiting to experience new things.
Mm-hmm.
Like always understanding it as it happens make it a bit boring, because I feel like there's a buffer in between like when you're born and when you get to the age where you start experiencing things for yourself. Mm-hmm. So it gives things time to like upgrade and become new while you don't really understand anything. So everything mm-hmm. feels new when you get around that age. But then once you get like, and I think it happens again, maybe if you get older, like 50, 60, 70, and like you become less like clocked in on everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So things could also bring some variety when, you know, your grandkid comes over around and they have this new phone or tablet or device or whatever. And you're like, oh, what's that? Never seen that before. But like maybe like the years in between like 20 and 60, or for average people who aren't really like clocked into technology, it might be a bit boring, but I don't know. But if you just live forever and you're always in the same state, like I don't know, you're 24 but like forever, I could see how that could get boring.
Okay, what age would you want to be at when you live forever?
I would probably want to be, I would say like 25. I just say that because I haven't experienced like much mm-hmm. older than that. So I would say 25. That's when the brain is done forming, right? For dudes.
I think so. I would say, yeah, 20, maybe 32.
Why 32?
Because they say you can stop, like you usually stop building muscle around the age of 30. This is just me like bodybuilding in okay. my mindset.
So what happens if you stop building muscle? What does that mean?
Yeah, like that's your peak.
So you can't build any muscle past 32?
You can't, but it's hard. Sorry.
Take in the information.
I would do 30. I feel like I low-key want to do 40 because then you can be like voted into certain positions like in government, because I feel like you would gain a lot of knowledge. You probably would be like one of the best people to. Well, okay. I guess this is another question. So when we say this, will your age go up like for things outside of your body? So like, let's say my body's stuck at 25, but when somebody looks at my birth certificate or whatever, it'll read I'm my real age.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So like 30 then, maybe.
Okay. Let me see. Here, I'm going to pull up Kenshin real quick. Why'd it go away? Oh. Window Kenshin. That's why. Okay. How'd you feel about Kenshin this week?
It was good. I was super wrong about Ryuja, or whatever that dude's name is.
What did you say?
I thought he was like actually a old school, you know, like he's fought people and stuff, but he's just some dude that likes swordsmanship. Oh,
yeah. He's a fraud.
He's never killed anybody. He's never really fought. I mean, he is super strong, though. We were right about that. Like, Kenshin even said, like, if he actually tried to, you know, because his techniques are super good and he has great swordsmanship. But, yeah, he's a lame, bro.
Is he just, like, I'm trying to think of what I would compare him to. Like, that guy who, like, always goes to the gym and, like, practices basketball, but, like, never plays.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Or something like that. Someone who's always practicing something but has never really
used it,
does it, or been in it, like, seriously. I guess you could say. His character was...
But he was giving Kenshin a run for his money, low-key.
I mean, yeah, he was. I mean, was he? I feel like Kenshin was kind of holding back on.
He was, even, yeah. But he had him, he couldn't do anything, remember? Because he had the range attack, and then he had the up-close attack. And Kenshin was like, I can't do anything but dodge.
Right, but then he countered him.
Yeah, he threw his freaking sword at his face.
He's a real fighter. And Kenshin was holding back. Like, he wasn't trying to kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was holding back. But against
somebody else, that he's trashing that person, though. Like, it's nothing they could do.
Yeah. That's true. He's definitely up there. In
he's
the
not
series.
Better than the other guy, though.
Aoshi?
Yeah.
No, he's not better than him. Aoshi would kill him.
Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, I like this episode, too. I thought it was really good. Especially with, like, the dramatics of the two kids, Yahiko. Mm-hmm. I think his name is Yuta. Because in the beginning of the episode, Yahiko, like, chokes up the doctor. I'm like, yo, Yahiko, yeah. Like, calm down, bro.
He's like, save him. He's like, save him. What are you good for?
What are you talking about?
He's like, doctors aren't. He's like, doctors aren't omnipotent, bro. We can't, like, we can't fix his arm, bro. We can hit. We can stop it from hurting, but his arm is fucked.
Like, I like that we saw so much emotion from Yahiko, especially since he wasn't really part of the show for a lot of it so far since his introduction. But he really cares about episode. You. Yeah, he had that one whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying this is episode 17. Like, he had like two or three out of 17 episodes he kind of was
the
a
girl
part
doesn't
of.
Get any episodes really either.
Yeah, she doesn't. Maybe she'll get one soon. Or maybe not. I don't know. She just be in the dojo. Training Yaiko, I guess. I don't know what she does. Really, neither is Sanosuke. Since his introduction, he hasn't had many, like, big... Well, he was kind of part of the drug part.
Yeah, with Mega Man. He fought the guy. Yeah. Broke his hands.
So he had that. But yeah, Rejuta... I was surprised to hear that he had never killed anyone. And I remember one of these. I just thought
they
it was funny.
It bluff.
Yeah.
And that's when he throws up.
And even
Yahiko was like, kill me. He was like, kill me then.
Yeah, kill me.
Yeah, kill me.
Yeah, he captured Yahiko. And he's like, kill me. And then he was like, he just didn't do it. So yeah,
he didn't lick his blood on in the anime.
Nah, he's just a small guy too. And then another part that was interesting. Did you watch, like, I feel like this part was like after the ending song when he like couldn't kill the grandma and her child. Did you see that?
I did not see that. That must have been at the end. I did not see that. He was going to kill a grandma. Why?
At the end of the episode, right? Because Kenshin the whole time calls his bluff, says you're not a real killer. Like, stop, give up sword fighting, you know, before someone actually kills you. And then at the end of the episode, I'm pretty sure after the post-credit song, there's a scene where he's like sitting in the bushes and this old lady and little girl are like at a Buddha shrine, like praying. And he's just sitting there, and then he's like holding his sword and like breathing heavy, like he's like stalking them, like basically like about to like slice them. And then he slices, and then it cuts away. So it, and then a head like falls off like a shadow, and then it's the Buddha shrine. And then they're like, and the old lady's like, oh, what happened to the shrine? And then she puts the head back on, and then he's just like breathing heavy and tense, and he just like looks disappointed and walks away.
Wait, I'm looking at her now.
Because he couldn't kill them. Because he was trying to, like, I guess, prove
himself.
Oh, this
is right after he fought Kenshin. This dude's crazy.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. I was like, you probably didn't see that part. Like, he was trying to prove himself to see if he could actually kill someone, and then he couldn't do it. I don't know why he chose an old lady and a little girl, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
At first, I thought he was actually going to do it, and then Kenshin would have to come after him again, but he didn't do it. So I'm sure his story is over. And then, besides that, I really liked the train scene. And the scene before that, where the dad was just like, we're just moving to Germany next week because, like,
he wants to prove his swordsmanship, and they got the best doctors.
Yeah.
The best medicine.
Mm-hmm. So he's just like, yeah, we're getting out of here next week. Train to Germany or something. Which I'm sure they didn't take a train. It's probably like a train then a boat or something. And then the group obviously tries to see them off, but they didn't really have anything to say. And I guess it's what can you say?
He lost
What would you say to someone who, like, I don't know, whose dream is like seemingly like gone?
Well, what I would say is, like, basically what Yahiko did, but I wouldn't like try to fight him, but I'd be like, dude, just because you lost an arm doesn't mean you can't fight. You know, you can create your own style of swordsmanship.
True.
And you There's can still, you know, you know who, you probably don't know, but this dude named Hansel, he's the one-armed basketball player. You've seen him?
I think I heard of him.
He's,
Or seen him somewhere.
He has one arm, but he's still pretty good at basketball. He actually he's on a college team, a D1 college team. He don't really play much because, obviously, you know, you only do so much with one arm. But, like, the fact that he was able to ball out in high school and get looks at, like, you know, scholarships and stuff and make it to the next level. Obviously, he won't go pro. Like, I doubt anybody with one arm could go pro, but he pushed the limits, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To where you can get. And I feel like with swordsmanship, it's completely different. You could definitely have one arm and still be crazy good.
I feel like most swordsmen that I see in anime that use samurai swords use one arm anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought, yeah, that was interesting. Another question that this episode brought up for me was, like, Yuta's dad feels, like, really responsible for Yuta getting hurt. Like, would you feel responsible if your kid's goals hurt them?
I mean,
like, if they wanted to really be, like, say, like, a pro football player, or, like, they wanted to do, like, boxing or, like, MMA, and they got, like, seriously injured, would you feel responsible for that?
No. Not responsible, because, like, that's what they wanted to do, and that comes with the territory of the sport, you know? Like, that's what we signed up for. It's a combat sport. It's a physical sport. injuries can always happen. And I feel like if you let them know that, like, that's a possibility. Obviously, you don't want to just bring that up all the time, but it's a possibility it can happen.
Would you ever, would you even let your kid do any of those?
Football, no.
Say, I'm still on the, on kind of like the edge of, like, would I let my kid play football? So I feel like I play football basketball, and I turn out fine, but I don't know. Well, basketball, yeah, like, I mean, I guess you could, like, hurt your legs, but.
Wrestling, yeah. But boxing and MMA, maybe. But.
You would let them do that over football?
What?
Boxing and MMA.
Boxing and MMA. Yeah, because it's a lot better in terms of, like, the way they look after the fighter after the fight. Like, they check up on them, and there's X amount of time that passes before you fight again. But, like, with football, football is very, like, tough it out. Even if you're hurt, go and play. Whereas in fighting, that's not the case. Like, if you're injured, you can't fight. Well, I mean, you can, right, but you're not supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're injured during a fight, yeah, you got to either finish the fight or, like, they'll stop it because, you know, you can't finish. But with football, you'll literally, people have, like, tears and shit, and they're still, like, playing. It's like, bro, like, yeah, what the heck? You know what I mean? So
football does have a tough it out culture. I feel like all pro sports kind of have a tough it out culture.
And then if you look at, like, the CTE and stuff in football, let me see, compared to boxing. And
that's, like, my main concern is like concussions. Because I don't know, if I did have a concussion, it was maybe one time during football. But, like, I'm not even sure if that was actually a concussion or not. Or if I just, like, hurt, like, my jaw. But, like, concussions, I feel like, weren't super common, at least on my team. It also has a lot to do with, like, training and, like, how well you train your team as far as, like, tackling and taking hits and just, like, not putting your head down and stuff like that.
I would say both. I don't think fighting is worse. I think football might be slightly better, but I don't know. I feel like there's more checks and balances with combat sports prior to going into the fight. And you know this is what you're signing up for. Like,
yeah,
you're literally going in to punch somebody and get your face punched. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, like, with football, I feel like it's more masked. Like, obviously, they're like, yeah, it's tough, it's physical, but I don't know. Like, it's more, I don't know.
I get what you're saying. There's definitely more checks and balances in, like, a player could, like, have a concussion, but, like, still keep going, and no one would really know they have a concussion, per se.
Yeah.
Especially, like, in high school and stuff. Because, like, the lower in level you get, the less checks there are. Like, at some point, like, you're just having, like, gym and health teachers responsible for, like, your kid's health on the field. So, it really depends on, like, the level and, you know, the average school and how much care they're putting into the program. So, I get that. Football, I'm very much still leaning towards wouldn't be okay with them playing. But
if anything, I would prefer wrestling compared to, like, actual, like, striking sports.
Okay.
Because, yeah, with wrestling, you can, like, break some, you can snap some shit up. And, you know, you can, like, get choked out, but it's not blunt trauma. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I don't know how common it is for someone to get, like, seriously injured at, like, a little, like, school wrestling event. I have no idea. Wrestling is one of those things I didn't really watch. I probably went to, like, one wrestling event at my school.
Yeah, I've never been to one.
And that was just because we had, like, some, like, ranked, like, state-ranked people on our team. Mm-hmm. I think the basketball coach just wanted us to go or something. I don't remember. Let me see. Oh, yeah. And this is another question that I think about a lot. Like, how much guidance would you give your kid as they grow up? Like, how hands-on would you be about, like, what they do in, like, their interests and hobbies? I feel like my parents weren't very, like, once I got to, like, probably, like, 12, 13, my parents weren't really, like, hands-on about my interests or, like, what I did.
I'd be semi hands-on. You never want to be like the dad or the mom that's like completely controlling like how they train and how they practice. Like, that's just annoying. I would definitely like give them some guidance, but I would obviously let them kind of do their own thing. I would show some interest in it so I know what's going on and try to like find ways to help them get better, but I wouldn't force anything upon them. Like, you should train this way, you should do it this way. I would just give them like little tips like, hey, maybe you should try this way or try it out this way and stuff like that. But
like, you wouldn't be like, you've got to try out for a basketball team.
No, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Or you have to do a sport. Or you have to do this club. Yeah, I wouldn't do
that either. I'd be like, hey, you want to try it? And if they're like, yeah, then all right. But if they don't, then they don't.
Is there ever a point where you would step in, say, like, they're not really doing anything or they're doing too much? Like, if your kid, if all they do is, like, I don't know, binge watch TV shows or, like, I don't know, they just play video games.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, that, for me, I feel like I would feel hypocritical because there was a lot of days where we were just playing video games.
Yeah, same. I'm just playing video games. I'm not doing shit else.
It's probably be different for us, I guess, because we still play video games. I assume if we had kids, we would still be playing. So we could probably still be involved in that culture with them. But like
my dad still plays video games.
Yeah. My dad doesn't play video games. I tried to get him into them a little bit, but my parents don't really do that. But like, would there ever be a point where you step in where you're like, you know, they're not really getting much like real life social activity?
Mm.
I feel like I would try to take them out sometimes if they don't really go out.
I mean, I would want them to get some kind of physical activity. Now, socially, I mean, we play games. Like, dude, I met you on a fucking video game, and now we're doing a podcast. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you can
12 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I understand that you can make friends online. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you still need real life friends though.
Yeah, which I'm sure, like, no, I don't think anybody just, I mean, there's some people, but I wouldn't force them to necessarily, like, socialize outside of the game. Like, if you have friends online, that's cool. Obviously, it would be good to also have friends in real life. But, I mean, as long as you're not, like, hurting anybody, you have a friend group, and you're active, like, you're not getting fat, and, like, it's like, hurting your health, and you're not socially awkward, then yeah, it's fine. But if I know my kid's socially awkward and I would try to like make ways for him to interact with people to get him to not be awkward, but I wouldn't force it. I would try to do it organically. But yeah.
So that's where you would step in. Like, how would you make sure your kid doesn't get fat?
I'd be like, all right, bro. You getting a little chunky. Like, you know what I'm saying? Gotta either, I mean, realistically, if a kid gets fat, it's on the parents, because you're literally the you're their way of getting food. So if they're getting fat, it's because you're giving them too much food and they're not doing enough activity. So either you can cut down the amount of food they eat. Now, I wouldn't be like, nah, you can't eat.
Yeah, are you gonna count their calories? I feel like you can eat this much and then this much. This is...
I wouldn't like count their calories strictly, but I definitely would try to make sure that they're intaking a good amount of calories. Like, they're not overeating and they're not undereating. Like, they're eating a healthy amount for their age and their weight. And then also, I would also try to get them to be able to exert some kind of physical activity and, you know, exercise a little bit. Like, you don't got to exercise every day and you don't got to eat like strictly the same stuff every day. Like, but it should be some kind of, you know, happy medium. Like, some days you might eat a little bit more, some days you might eat a little bit less. But you're not just going to be eating crazy amounts of food every day and you're not doing anything. That doesn't make any sense. You're just eating to eat because you're not hungry. You shouldn't be hungry. Because, like, if you're not moving, you're not exerting any, you know, like, force or effort or anything, you shouldn't be hungry. Like, I could literally go the whole day without eating if I don't do anything. Because I'm not going to get hungry. I might get, like, slightly hungry, but I'm not going to get hungry to the point where I got to eat a whole bunch of food. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I've literally been on a game some days, and I haven't eaten anything.
Same.
Like, I don't get hungry. I'm just on the game. Just chilling. And then, also, you got to make it fun. Like, exercise should be fun. That's the biggest thing. If exercise isn't the fun, obviously, they don't want to move if it's not fun. But if they're active at a young age, then they'll carry on. And, like, I work out, so I probably would take my kid to the gym. But I wouldn't, like, force them to do certain stuff. Like, I wouldn't be super hard on them the first day in the gym. I would build it up, you know, like, gradually. And then, you know, it'll just be natural because, like, he's been doing it since he was younger. And it's just, like, a routine kind of thing.
Yeah. One thing I'll do that I wish my parents did is get my kid in the gym early on and make it, like, fun as well. Make working out more fun and not like a chore. Yeah. All right. Our last show, Jujutsu Kaisen, episode 14. I'm just going to go ahead and get this out of the way. The animation was bad for this season, but it wasn't.
For the season?
This episode's animation was bad compared to.
Oh, the rest of the season.
The rest of the season, but I don't think
it was
bad.
They put a lot of effort on that last fight, which I think should have went to this fight personally, because this fight was way cooler to me.
There was a lot. That's true. There was a lot more going on screen this episode that maybe could have used that effort last episode for just two people fighting in a bathroom. But like what I was saying, it bad for this season, average to good for the rest of the anime industry.
Yeah. Yes.
MAPPA, more complaints after the episode came out from people that work at MAPPA saying, like, obviously they're overworked and conditions aren't the best. So, yeah. Shout out to all the MAPPA animators because y'all are obviously trying. It's just probably tough. I don't know what your hours are like, but I assume they suck. Probably like a Zom 100 situation going on with mm-hmm. here. I don't know. We just want to get that out of the way. How'd you feel about this episode and all the reveals? There's like three power reveals.
I thought the episode was great. You know what's crazy? I didn't even realize the animation was bad until you said something about it. And I rewatched it. I was like, damn, this shit is kind of ass. But I think
that's crazy.
I watched the episode like three times. Because okay. I dozed off. Every time I started watching, I dozed off. But not because it was boring, because the times I was watching it was either be like early in the morning when I just woke up. And I didn't sleep. I've been watching like basketball because, you know, the NBA season's back on. And one of the teams I watch is the Lakers. And since they're in the West, their games don't start until like 9 o'clock, 10:30. And they don't end until like 12, 1. So right. I'm going to sleep late and I'll wake up in the morning. And I usually go to the gym in the morning. But if I go to sleep that late, then I'll wake up and I'll go back to sleep. But I was like, since I'm not going to the gym this early and I'm going a little bit later, let me just watch, you know. The new episode, right?
Right.
I turned it on, watched it, dozed off, woke up, went to the gym, came back. I take a nap after the gym. I was like, all right, let me get back to watching it. Watched it after the gym, laid down, dozed off, woke back up. And I was like, damn, okay, I fell asleep again. So then I was like, let me just wait until the weekend to watch it. And I watched it on the weekend, and I was like, all right. Because the parts... Because I remembered everything that, like, before I fell asleep, and I was like, I remember this, but I was like, let me just watch the whole thing through. And I watched the whole thing through, and I was like, I liked the episode. It was pretty cool. I like Dagon. He's like the curse for fear of water and ocean and or natural disasters by water. Right. It seems like anything that's like a natural disaster curse is going to be extremely strong, or like like the plague, which makes sense because like it's a lot of negative energy because people are like, oh, I'm super scared of this thing, and they create this curse because it's a fear of it. So like stuff like that, I think is cool, like how that works. Like things that are widely known to be fearful are stronger curses.
Yeah.
So like for instance, there's probably a spider curse because a lot of people are scared of spiders. So that was pretty cool. Nanami was cool. The old guy, I liked his.
I was gonna
ask how his curse technique.
I thought you would like him
because I understood like pretty much everything he was talking about, especially with like frames. And then he was talking about like how TVs they come in, and you know they have like upscaling for 4K and stuff like that. I was like, okay. At first I was like, why is he talking about this? This is like it's so random. But I understood what he was saying, and it was pretty.
I did not know what he was talking about automatic interpolation, and I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, so like sometimes when you get a TV, it's like set. That's why like if you get a TV, you should go into the settings and like change things because the default settings are usually pretty bad or they're not good. For instance, like I have a the TV I play on my PlayStation, it's an LG, it's an OLED one, but it has variable refresh rate and I can do like 120 hertz. But by default, that's not on. You have to go into the settings and turn on the game mode and change a few other things so you can actually get the full capabilities of the frame rates and stuff. Because if you don't change it, then it would just be like 60 FPS and it won't feel as responsive. That's just one thing. And then he also talked about like how there's 24 frames in 1 second of animation. But that can vary based on like, you know, depending on how fast the animation, or I forgot what it's called, but like sometimes you can have animation that where 24 frames isn't 1 second, it could be 10 frames. It's just based on how fast you go through each frame. But I'm pretty sure the standard is 24 seconds for one frame. For 1 second. And so his power is cool. Also like how like his thing is basically it's a set movements in these 24 frames, and they have to be, you can't interrupt it. You have to, it's basically like you have to dial in whatever you're going to do before you start the technique. Cause if you change it in the middle of it, then you just freeze into a frame for that amount of time for that 1 second. And then if he touches you, you also have to operate inside the confinements of that rule and technique where you have to create a movement in 24 frames. Cause if you don't, then you'll just turn into a frame. So I was like, it's definitely unique. And I thought it was pretty cool. And he's super fast. He's the fastest sorcerer next to Gojo because he has that ability to basically like time skip.
I didn't quite understand what he was doing, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. I think he's cool. Obviously, Nanami's cool. I ain't gonna lie. A lot of the kids, they're getting very, very
exposed.
Yeah, they're getting exposed because she was like, I would have died. She was like, if he wasn't here, I would have died. But he is a special grade curse. And they kind of told her, they were like, you should probably low-key just leave because you're not ready for this. And she was like, what? You want this drunk old man to help you? I'll probably be more help to him. And so.
Yeah, but we know Maki isn't that strong.
Yeah,
like, she got beat by Geto in the movie.
Yeah, but Geto's like, come on now. You know what I mean?
He's a special grade. I mean, she's not special grade level.
Yeah.
So she really shouldn't be there, but you know.
Yeah.
She decided to come along. How did you feel about it? Probably got glossed over because it's in the very beginning. How'd you feel about Mei Mei's power?
Oh yeah, forgot about that. That fight was good. That was good animation. That whole fight was good.
That was good.
But when Dagen got on the screen, it looked kind of choppy. It got a little choppy, but Mei Mei's fight was good. Yeah,
with the suicide fight was good. Crows.
She at first when she was like, "Will you die for me?" I was like, "Dang, she just gonna let her brother die?" I really thought she was just gonna let him die. He was like, "Yeah, I'll
really?
Die." Yeah, I didn't. I thought that because she was like, "I only gauge people's worth by what they can do for me." She literally said that the last episode. Remember?
Yeah.
She was like, you're only as valuable as what you can do for me. So I'm thinking that's just like her attitude. Like, even if you're my brother, like, I only value your life as much as for what you can do for me. And what's more valuable than you?
I think she was still serious, though.
No, yeah. But
they were definitely both serious.
But she was like, I only bring him along to handle domains. And I think it's kind of like what Megumi is doing right now. Like, how he can stop the natural domain effect because he has his domain, or he's doing something that basically he's opening his domain. So the two of them are fighting, but he's like, right. We're actually not fighting. I'm not trying to take over. I'm just trying to open a hole so we can escape. But basically, if you both open your domain, it'll cancel out the natural effect until somebody's domain takes over. So if somebody else is in there, they can just fight the other person without having to worry about their domain effects. So I think that's how Mei Mei uses her brother, essentially, which is like smart. If he's just there to handle domains, and that's like all he's here for. And then her crow is like really OP because you
her
can stake
her crazy
because they're like, if you stake your life on the crow, like if it commits suicide, it has unlimited amount of curse energy that it can use because it's going to die after it uses whatever it's about to do. So it's like, it's just extremely
it's just
OP.
Like
she's like the
overclock.
Only
she can overclock the crow.
Yeah. And basically, she was like, the only person that can stop this move is Gojo. That's the only person who I can't touch with this.
Yeah, she's crazy. I was pleasantly surprised by her performance and power.
And so
all the great ones are doing well, even though the old man Zen lost his arm. But I wasn't really.
He
affected
had 80%.
By it.
He had 80 or 70% of like that dude's full power, and then Nanami got 30, and then he didn't even give what's her name. I mean, I guess she got a part of the 30% that Nanami got, but he was like, I'll give 30 to Nanami and then 70 to old man Zenin. And then he didn't even care about Maki.
Nah.
He's like, yeah, you're just here.
How did you feel about Megumi always sacrificing himself?
Oh, sacrificing himself? You know, it's crazy. I didn't really realize he did that a lot. I mean, I know they talked about it in the last season. Because Gojo was like, you gotta stop, like, basically staking your life on saving people. Like, that's not gonna work all the time. This time, he didn't really stake his life. He was like, I'm not gonna throw my life away.
He wasn't throwing his life away, but I mean, if you trap yourself in a domain.
But no, because he was like, are you gonna be able to escape too? He was like, I'm not throwing my life away. So he was like, I'm gonna make it too. Like, we all
he's throwing his life away. He was like,
bruh, you don't think he was gonna make it out too?
I don't think he would make it out. No.
But they were like, he's too late. Nanami was like, the dude's too late. He figured it out, but he's too late. We're going to make it. And then obviously it did like, you know, the slow motion thing. It was like, oh, are they actually going to make it? But at the end of the day, the only reason they did the slow motion because Toji popped up out the hole and just dove in. And every time I think of it, I just think of the song with by I think it's Usher.
What? By Usher.
Who made this song?
How's it go?
Or Trey Songz. I'm about to die.
Oh, diving.
Because you just see his hands. So originally, I thought it was, because I seen the panel. I saw the panel, but I didn't know it was Toji. Like, it doesn't look like Toji. I thought it was Yuta. And
oh,
I was like,
really?
Yeah, because he has the white t-shirt and everything. And
oh,
I was like,
yeah,
I thought
he's a sweatshirt.
I thought it was Yuta. And I'm like, what the heck? Because it doesn't look like Toji. I mean, I didn't think it was Toji. But then when I watched the anime, I was like, oh, that's definitely Toji. But I seen this panel before, and I didn't know who it was. I didn't know any context behind it. I just seen this picture.
Do you think he's gonna be on the good people side or the curse side?
I think he's about to just kill that curse, and then he's gonna fuck up the sorcerers too, because he doesn't like the sorcerers. And I mean, he has no horse in this race. He's just here to just be here. So I think
like,
he's
why
just
is
gonna...
he here though? Is my question.
Because he's just like, ah, it's a fight. I'm gonna fight. Like he just, he's been locked away or dead for X amount of years. He probably like, I'm trying to get active. Let me like, what's going on? Like what?
They didn't put the words in the anime. They'll probably do it on this week's episode. Mm-hmm. But it says, yeah, he said, those who inherited the curse of the Zenin family, the one who couldn't fully leave behind that curse, is that they would all bear witness to the bare flesh of the one who is free, to the one who left it all behind in his overwhelming intensity. So I don't know if he's going to beat them up or not, but...
I think he is. I think he's going to beat them up. He's going to clap that curse instantly. Like, I really feel like he's going to clap that curse instantly, and then he's just going
to,
like,
what's
toy around
with
them.
What is he going to say to the three Zenin, though, and his own son? I don't know.
He's probably just gonna be like, ah, you guys still do this stuff? That's funny. Or something like along those lines. Because he doesn't like the Zenin clan. You know, like.
Yeah, he doesn't like them.
He does. He despises the Zenin clan. He does not like that clan at all. because they kind of like threw him out, remember? Because he didn't have any cursed energy. So they treat him like shit. And he's like, all right, that's cool. I'm going to prove you guys wrong.
But he seems more free now. So, like, do you think he cares about that now?
I think he still wants to prove them wrong. Like, I'm the best and I have nothing. Because this whole thing is like, he wanted to turn over, like, you know, change Jujutsu sorcery. That's why he was trying to kill Gojo at the end. But then he was like, you know, why? When did I start caring so much? But I still think he has something to prove to the Zenin clan in particular. I don't think he really cares about the, like, Jujutsu sorcery as a whole. But I do think he still has something against the Zenin clan.
Okay. I guess we'll see. I'm excited for it, obviously. Whatever happens. Whoever he beats up, we'll see. But I'm hoping he joins their side. That's what I would hope for. He also doesn't have any weapons, so how could he exercise a curse?
With his bare hands?
I don't think you can do that.
You don't think so?
I think you need something with cursed energy to exercise a curse.
He can take Maki's weapon.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Debo. And Minka. And just take the staff. He probably is. That's probably what he's about to do. Beat her up. Take her staff. Because that thing's super strong. Off. Yeah. And then just, she has
the staff and the nunchucks.
Yeah, so he'll probably take... The nunchucks was the thing that's super strong. The, like, the three-part one. That's what you're talking about? Because remember that they showed that in the flashback episode.
Didn't Ghetto have them? Or no? Ghetto had nunchucks, too.
It just showed how priceless it was. Remember, it was like, this thing is super expensive. And it was the whatchamacallit. It's like the staff that breaks into three. I guess it's a nunchuck.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Ghetto had something like that in the prequel. When he was fighting Yuta. He had some kind of nunchuck type thing. All right. What was your episode of the week?
Episode of the week, JJK.
Okay. I think my episode of the week, I think, was probably Kenshin. Because I really liked Yahiko and Yuta's relationship in that episode. Moment of the week for me was Gina's death in Undead Unluck.
Mm-hmm.
That hit me more than I thought it would. I thought they did it really well. And animation of the week. Honestly, I kind of want to say Kenshin for animation of the week.
I think JJK, the first half of the episode with Mei Mei, was really good. But Undead Unluck had a good fight, too. The animation was also good.
Yeah, that's
Kenshin's
true.
Fight was also good. It's either Undead Unluck or Kenshin for me. Because the second half of JJK was kind of... It was a little rocky.
Upon rewatching, there were some silly frames in the episode. Like, soon as he popped out of his skin and became like his actual form, is when it got rocky. But I did like his design, though. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, same.
So, yeah. All right. That's all I got for this week. Any final thoughts?
Nah, I thought this week was good.
Okay.
I'm ready for the episodes that come out this week. JJK's episode, I think, is going to be really good. And Kenshin, I don't know what's going to happen next, honestly. But Kenshin's always good. And then also... Undead Unluck, I guess I have I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm expecting. They're going to join the team, but I think they're about to get grilled and like put through initiation, and they're going to be like, ah, this is kind of ass, maybe.
I don't know how long that lasts.
I think it'll be backlash, too. I think they'll stay with the team the whole time. I'm not going to lie, for the rest of the season.
Maybe, yeah. Okay. My final thought is just that me and Jenna are supposed to be going to the Akron Comic Con.
Oh, really?
This, either Saturday or Sunday.
Does she watch anime?
Not really. Maybe sometimes.
Wait, who did you say again? Jenna?
Jenna.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The original host.
Yeah. But it's supposed to be like comic stuff there. I don't know. I've never even been to
one. Oh, is she into comics?
Here and there. I mean, she was familiar with the comic store owner for some reason, so I don't know. Okay. I don't know. But we're both going. I'm just interested to see like what it would be like. I've never been to one, just to see, you know, if it's interesting. So, yeah. That's it. That's all I got. Thank you for listening to episode 49 of the Weekend Weebs. Peace out.
Peace.